All right. Today I'm going to talk about improving the transfer of traits from Solanum pinellii to cultivated tomato by understanding segregation distortion and reproductive barriers. Now, for those of you who might have known me over the years, this is actually going back. In my current position, I do tomato breeding, and I'd like to move insect resistance from pinellii into cultivated tomato because I breed for greenhouse and high tunnel environments. But if any of you know about this, there are some problems related with working with wild species. And in the case of tomato pinellii, while it has resistance, is a pain in the butt to deal with. So I worked on this project when I was a postdoc at Cornell. Had some really interesting things come out of it. We didn't make it very far. And about 6-7 years ago, I had the idea to actually... Sorry. It's starting... Ooh, yeah, because it almost came off. There we go. There we go. We had the idea to actually go back because I had a better idea how to actually ask the question and try and get to a better site or better location than we had been. So what's the real problem with challenges in transferring traits from wild species? And in particular, this will cover a lot, but this is problems we have specifically in the wild species with tomato. In the case of the insect resistance trait that I'm looking at, it's a polygenic inheritance, not only to synthesize the compounds, but also to make the trichomes, which the cultivated tomato doesn't have. There's a lot of problems with linkage drag, with trying to bring things along. We have both interspecific and intraspecific crossing barriers, so self-incompatibility is a problem, but it is not the only problem, and it is not the major problem that we're going to be talking about. And then we have the problem of hybrid breakdown, which, if you go back in the literature, hybrid breakdown can take place anywhere from creating the F1 hybrid to further down, even F3, F4, where your plant just totally falls apart, you know, doesn't grow, looks abnormal, etc. And also segregation disorder. I kind of feel that segregation disorder is one of those little things that we try not to talk about. We like to show the nice, pretty Mendelian inheritance. So here's what I'm dealing with. So my wild species is on the far left. You can see it's a beautiful tomato that you want to eat. It's that little teeny green thing there. It's not like the red tomato that's a New Yorker in that picture, and then the hybrid gives you that nice little lovely yellow tomato in the center. And that's if you're really good, is you get something kind of in that yellow range. But the wild species and even the F1 are hairy, which is the trichomes, and the wild species smells like wet dog. Best description, that's from Charlie Rick in there. So there's some real problems with this, but we can at least create an F1. One problem, you can only create the F1 in one direction. Tomato has to be the female. Has to be. Pinellii is the male. If you do it any other way, the pollen tubes stop in the top third and do not grow. It's not a self-incompatibility issue. We've dubbed it unilateral incongruity, but it is not incompatibility because this accession is actually self-compatible, but I've done it with both self-incompatible and self-compatible. So I can only make the cross in one direction. When I was postdocing, we made the cross, we did the F1, and then we created the F2, and we analyzed the F2, and we did, I'll date myself, RFLPs. For you, those of you young people out there, that's the predecessor to all these exciting markers you hear about. The problem we had with this is we had a lot of information that came out and gave us some good ideas and leads. But the problem with looking at an F2 is you see the segregation from both mom and dad. And how do you winnow it out? So my brilliant scheme was, let's do back crosses and analyze them all together. So I did a back cross to tomato. I also did a back cross to pinellii. Again, it still has to follow the same rule, which is if you cross with tomato, tomato has to be the mom. So in the case of the back cross to tomato, what you're seeing is the segregation result from the male. And in the case of the back cross to pinellii has to be the male, so you're seeing the actual segregation from the female side of the F1. So I have three populations we grew at the same time in the greenhouse in there and did all of our analysis on. All right, so let me talk you through the slide. Don't get scared. All right, the F1's up in the top middle. Blue is showing you the seeds that did germinate. So from those F1 plants, we had over 85% that actually produced. So they made flowers, they produced fruit, they had seed, and the seed germinated. We had a few that produced, had fruit, but no seed in the yellow. So following through with that, let's look at the back cross to tomato. You'll see we actually had 65% that actually had germinable seed in there. We had some coming up that had seed that wasn't germinable. That's the little green wedge over there. We had some that made fruit with no seed that were parthenocarpic. That was 25%. And then we had a small percentage where no fruit were produced. But every plant in that whole population of about 96 produced flowers. So it at least got that far. If we look at the back cross to Pinellii, it's a total different story. We had 87% that produced no fruit. They had flowers, no fruit. We actually, out of the lot, had only 2% of that same population of about 96 where it actually had fecund seeds. The seeds were germinable in there. So very low percentage. The F2, which is what you see in the middle, is kind of somewhere in between. And this, if you go back in the literature, not only the work we did at Cornell, but also prior to this, F2 populations in crosses with Pinellii are fairly consistent, that you get very few germinable seeds. But notice we got a lot of plants that never even flowered in there. So no flowering. We only had 1% of that population, and that was about 200 plants we had in there that had germinable seed. So as a breeder, you kind of look at that F2 and go, ugh, I have hardly anything to work with. Even the back cross to Pinellii is not great. If you're looking at this, you're thinking, that back cross to tomato, maybe that's going to save us. Wait. So we also looked just to make sure it wasn't something else, because all we were looking at was really flowers, fruit, and seed. So we also looked at pollen standability to see if that was part of the problem. Were they producing pollen that was even usable? Tomato, pretty much everything's germinable. Pinellii consistently has low germinability, but as you saw, it did actually produce some fruit. The F1 is high, 85%. Averages 80 to 91. The F2 is all over the place. It had plants in there that had no germinability all the way up to 99%. Average is 31. But here's where it gets interesting. The both back crosses, the populations came up in germinability. Still have a wide range like the F2, but now we're looking at 58 and 49% germinable pollen or stainable pollen in there. We also decided to take the seed that we got out of our populations and grow them out in there to see really was the seed germinable. And we looked not only for germination, but we also looked for abnormalities because we were expecting to see some hybrid breakdown in that next generation. So first two bars are the plants that we used. I had M82 and 716. Sorry, I snuck another Pinellii in. It happens to be my favorite. Not all Pinellii has low, is hard to work with. LA2963, if I can put a push for another Pinellii, that's much easier to work with than 716. The F1, you can see seed germination is pretty good. The F2, that's creating the F2 population. So seed from the F2 is the F3, and you can see the germination is really low in there. The back cross to tomato to create that population was high. The self of those plants is the next bar over in there, this one. And you can see lots of variation, but a much higher than the F3, which would be the selves of the F2. The back cross to Pinellii, we actually had fairly good germination, and the selves off of them, a huge variation, but actually not too bad. Now, this is where we're kind of going to go back in time. This is actually the grad student that was in the lab with me We worked on doing all the mapping, and this is actually the F2 of the population we looked at. So same kind of cross, different tomato, but the same kind of cross. What she found is we found segregation distortion across the chromosomes. If it's green, it was skewed towards Pinellii. If it's red, you'll see one little section that's skewed to red. That was skewed to tomato. And all of the orange was skewed to the F1 in there. I'll just make a note. Chromosome 10, you'll see everything skewed. Chromosome 10 historically has been in there. It's usually always skewed, especially on one chromosome arm. So this is what I was kind of expecting, at least in RF2, and I had no clue what to expect with back crosses. So I don't have it graphically. I'm still working on it, so if anybody has any great ideas, I want to talk. We sent out to have 1,000 SNP markers run on all the plants. All I'll say is please check with your company and do some background work. We actually only ended up with about 600 markers, and they offered no help or assistance or aid. I'm not happy. Do you get my hint? Anyhow, from what we did get, first thing we did was to go through and look and find out what was skewed in there. So what deviates from the expectation? So in the both back cross populations, we're looking for a one-to-one segregation, and if it's skewed off of that, we're going to have problems. In the case of the back cross to tomato, chromosome 1 and chromosome 8 were entirely skewed. Every last marker. In the case of chromosome 1, it's over 60 markers. All of them are skewed. So guess what? Try and load that into MapMaker or any of those other things and get a map made. It doesn't work. Can't do it. Because nothing fits. They can't do the recombination frequency. So back cross to Pinellii, we didn't get it nearly as bad, but we did get on chromosome 3 up to almost 89%. On the F2, as I had told you before, chromosome 10 is problematic, and we saw that again just like we had seen back when I was at Cornell. So what's the end result for where we're at? I still have to plow through all of the data and figure out what we're looking at. I was not expecting this amount of skewing to the point where it's problematic to analyze. If we had to move forward, I would say the back cross to tomato is the way to go and to look at. So we're looking to see if there's anything valuable out of there that we can use to move forward with, because moving forward with the F2 is really not an option. Back cross to Pinellii might be another option as well, but it's going to be really dependent on what's coming through. Excuse me, what's coming through on that side. Back cross to tomatoes, best hope for transferring it. Segregation distortion was definitely the worst in that one, though. Didn't expect that one coming. So, and we are still looking, plowing through the analysis. I've had some other things that have come up in the way, so hoping to get back to that this fall. So, thank funding from USDA, my institution, and also my former postdoc supervisor is still being supportive and from Cornell, so since I've used some of their stuff, I thought I'd better thank them. Any questions? Yes, sir. So the question is this just for Pinellii or do you see it with others? You see it with others. It varies to differing degrees. It's how close the species is related in to cultivated tomatoes. So the closer it is, the less problems you have. Pinellii and the one you work with, Habrochites, are problematic in there. Come see me. I'll give you the reference. It'll show that. It is different with different accessions, but it's easy to lump everything together because people like to jump on the self-incompatibility bandwagon, but there's more to all these reproductive barriers than just that. And when you put all of them together, it makes a real challenge to try and breed through that and to get your traits transferred, especially the multigenic ones. Thank you.